after telling two parables, loving on children, giving direction about eternal life, and even foreshadowing his own death, Jesus begins his journey towards Jerusalem. Passover is coming. And to get to Jerusalem, he enters the small village of Jericho. And there, on the outskirts of town, a blind beggar. You know, all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell this story. Matthew has two beggars who come to Jesus as he leaves Jericho. Mark names the beggar. His name was Bartimaeus. But Luke simply says a blind, begging, nameless beggar on the ground. As Katie said, though he was blind, oh, he could hear. He could hear who is coming. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. He knows. He's heard. Jesus. Jesus, that one who has great compassion. Well, and a little controversy follows him. They say Jesus teaches like no one else. The multitudes, and he hears. The multitudes, they're all around him. You can hear them even now, the multitudes. And once he fed multitudes with just a small lunch, and there was a man who couldn't walk, who his friends let him down through the roof, and Jesus healed him. And there was one who had demons within, and Jesus cast the demons out. And there was a leper that Jesus cleansed. And there was one who was blind that Jesus healed. Jesus, he yells, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's making a messianic statement, Son of David. He had heard a lot, indeed. Have mercy on me. It sounds like the man in the temple. Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But this blind beggar calls not for healing, but he does call, Son of David, have mercy. And Luke's gospel says, and those who led the way rebuked him. I have to believe it's those disciples. The disciples that had just rebuked the children, get away, he doesn't have time. And Jesus said, you let the children come to me. They're still rebuking. Hush, they told him. Hey, be quiet. No, stop talking, stop yelling. Shut up. It's Jesus, shut up. He doesn't have time for you. And so he, the beggar, cries even louder, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. The crowd of people, I picture kind of Laurel and Hardy, boom, 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 boom. Jesus stops. And then he says, bring him to me. You can just imagine, I can, that moment. The crowd has stopped, the man has been screaming, he's been rebuked, and Jesus says, bring him to me. Oh, their minds started rushing, he's in trouble. Jesus is going to tell him, I'm on my way to Passover. Jesus is going to say, I can't heal everyone. Jesus, or maybe he's... And that quiet moment becomes a holy moment. Verse 41, when the beggar came near Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. In Matthew's account, it says Jesus touched his eyes. But Luke and Mark simply say that Jesus spoke, "Receive your sight, your faith has made you well." And immediately by faith, he received his sight. Immediately by faith, he received his sight. And Luke continues, and he began to praise God. And he followed Jesus. And all the people around, they also praised God. A cry for mercy changed by faith. I don't know how many times I've read this account, or Mark's, or Matthew's account. It's Lent. We are on a journey toward the resurrection. But you remember our sub-theme during these weeks of Lent is this: to allow Jesus' experience with others to influence our experience with him. We know what Jesus did to the blind beggar, but how does that influence us? A couple of thoughts. Notice first that the beggar desired to change. I have so many questions. What was he blind from birth? Had he never seen a blue sky or green grass or ice falling from pine trees? Had he always been blind, or was it an accident that he knew how blue the sky could be and he had at once known the faces of others? I don't. And how long had he been sitting on the side of the road on the outskirts of Jericho? And were there others? Did all of the misfits tend to sit on the outskirts knowing that travelers would come through? Were there others who were blind, some who were lame? Was there just a whole group of them? Homeless, street people, panhandlers. As folks come in, they called out, "Alms, give us alms." But only this one. If there were others, and even if there weren't, only this one said, "No more. Have mercy. I want to see." He longed for change. He had a desire deep in his soul. He wanted to change. I wonder how many of us are blind but have no desire to change. We're blind, but we've just become content. We accept our blindness. We accept our stuff. It's just what it is. It's impossible to change. I can't change. I've tried to change. It's hopeless. All is lost. I give up. Maybe it's hard to understand blindness, but there are other blindnesses. Maybe it's spiritual blindness. How long has it been since you've longed to talk to God and could talk to God? How long has it been since you have spent time praying and even thinking on things of God in the Spirit? You've lost that. Your spiritual life is It's blind. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe your blindness is an addiction. That addiction consumes you, whether it's an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or a porn addiction or a social media addiction or a Fox News, CNN addiction. What is it that is so controlling your life? And you know it does. But you're hopeless. I can't change. Maybe it's your marriage. It's so broken. You've given up. It's as good as it's going to be. Maybe it's something else. You know what it is. And for years and years, you've just sit and lived with it. Maybe today's the day that you shout out to Jesus for mercy. Maybe today is the day that you get honest before Jesus and say, I want to see. I desire, oh God, have mercy. I desire, like the blind beggar, I desire. Oh, God, change me. But it's just not the right time. I will try again. I will try to fix it. I've tried before, but I'm going to really try this time. And well, maybe later. You know, later I will deal with this, and later I'll come to God. But not now. And besides, what will people say? For the blind beggar, it was perhaps the very worst time, at least for Jesus. Remember, Jesus, the Son of David, this is Messiah. This is Jesus, Messiah, who is headed to Jerusalem. Passover is coming. As a matter of fact, if you read ahead in Luke, it's only 28 verses until Jesus goes through Bethpage and Bethany and looks into Jerusalem. 28 verses. Only 28 verses, and Jesus is in Jerusalem, and Passover is there. And Jesus knew. He knew what was waiting. That upper room, that Gethsemane, that trial, that crucifixion, that cross. It was terrible timing. That's why the disciples said, no, be quiet. We've got to get through Jericho. We're headed up to Jerusalem. We have things to do. And they didn't understand what that even meant. The timing was terrible. And would people talk? You heard them. The crowd, the disciples, one translation said, those leading the way said, shut up, beggar. Stop calling out to Jesus. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have time. The word in the Greek, rebuke, in verse 39, we don't really even have a word that's that strong that I could share from this pulpit. They rebuked him, and it's in the imperfect tense, meaning they rebuked him and they continued to rebuke him. And the blind beggar just yells louder. So what about you and your blindness? Oh, there are always going to be reasons. Always going to be reasons why you can't come to Jesus. There are always going to be excuses, and many of those reasons and excuses are as legitimate as this one. I mean, it's Lent. And you know, we've got the cross up, and it'll soon be Easter, and now is not the time. We're all thinking about confession, and I'm not about to make any decision during this time. It's after Lent. Well, it's COVID. Oh, it's COVID. Almost a year, that's all we've said and done and talked about. When I get past COVID, I'm going to make a lot of changes. And And we just had that snow crisis. And, you know, when I finish picking up all those pine branches, I will get serious and make some changes. And people may talk. No, people will talk. People will talk. Your friends, you'll find out real fast which are real friends. And even some real friends, they may not talk to your face, but they'll talk behind your back. And family, I know blood is thicker than water, but family might say, don't you embarrass us. You remember our family. Don't you say or confess or do something that would embarrass us. And if your friends and family are going to talk, just think about the people who already don't like you. Those enemies, those who already don't care about you, they will glory in talking about you and say, hey, you, be quiet, not now. And what about God? Does God even know what you're getting ready to change? He does. Verse 39, after they rebuked him and continued to rebuke him, he called out even louder, have mercy, have mercy. No one else called out around him. No one else took the step. He desired to change. And though the time didn't seem right for others, the time was right for him. And he said, let him talk. And then when Jesus said, but what do you really want? And this perhaps is the most frightening part of this story for me. When you finally say, I'm ready to change. God, that's me on the side of the road with all of my stuff. I'm ready to call out for mercy. God, it's my time. I want to change. And then God says, what do you want? I want to see. And you say it. And you do it. And by faith, you believe it. But what if it doesn't happen? What if you pray it and you believe you have that faith? It's all of you, all part of you, and you confess it, you give it. Can God really do it? Can God change that marriage? Can God change that addiction? Can God change that blindness? How big is your God? Is anything, the Old Testament asks, is anything too big for God? But be ready. Be open when by faith you give it to God. Be open, because God's plan might not look exactly like your plan. Because God's plan might be bigger than your plan could ever be. God, I ask for this. But God, you gave this. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus leaves the upper room and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the other gospel writers have him with his disciples praying, and he said, watch and pray. And Jesus falls flat on his face in total humanity, saying, God, I want to live. God, I am not ready. This is not my time. These silly disciples, they don't get it. God, I need more time. I need to teach more. I need to love more. Jerusalem's not ready. God, not now. And he prays it. And he goes back and he prays it. The Bible says he pleads with such intensity, sweat drops like blood. God, but not my will, but your will. God, this is what but God, by faith, I trust your will. I was somewhere on a road between Giddings, Texas, and College Station, and Cameron, and Waco. I was in my dream job. I had reached the apex in my life of working at Baylor. I'd only been there a year, and I turned off the radio after leaving that camp, and I said, God, I am so miserable. I prayed to this job, and you gave it to me, and I'm at Baylor, and God, how many more times can I sit in that job? I am so bored. I'm so miserable. I check Facebook 40 times an hour. God, what am I supposed to do? God, just let me be the football coach. Let me be the president. Let me do something. God, I got to stay at Baylor, but God, take me out of this. And I didn't say send me to Lufkin. Baylor Lufkin, they didn't even sound alike. The Baylor president didn't call me. Hall Henderson called me. Not my will, but your will by faith. How many times you've been there, you've prayed with all of your faith, God, let that malignancy not be cancer. But it was. You've prayed, God, let her live. And she died. God, save my marriage. And the writ of divorce comes. The prisoner says, I am innocent. I am innocent. And the jury says, guilty. I don't know. I think, and we think, but we look through a mirror dim. We don't see it all, but God does. And God knows. The beggar, what do you want? What do you want, Jesus asked. By faith, Jesus, I want. I think I want. But God, you know. I wonder what happened to the beggar. It says he followed them, and they went on through Jericho. Did he become a part of the followers? Did he go on to Jericho and past Zacchaeus? And did he go on to Jerusalem? Did he join on Palm Sunday saying, Hosanna, Hosanna? I wonder, was he there at the trial? Did he stand at the foot of the cross? Did he wander back to Jericho? Maybe he never made it even to the other side of Jericho. But now he could see. Now what? Did he become the pastor of the Jericho church? Or maybe he became the local eye doctor. Maybe he started working at the food bank for those who needed help. Maybe he went back and sat with the beggars. I don't know. But this I know, God did a work through Jesus Christ, and by faith, he accepted God's plan. What about you? Cry for mercy. Be changed by faith. You know, there are a lot of old songs we used to sing back in. Some of you don't remember, but when we had Sunday night church, you sang every song you could, and then some. And there were some great old gospel songs that we don't sing anymore, and some of them had terrible theology looking back. But I thought of this song this week when I came to this. The hymn says, while I pray and while I plead, while you see my soul's deep need, while our Father calls me home, will you not, my brother, sister, come? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn your face from God. But yes, today accept his grace. In the world you failed to find aught for peace, for troubled mind. Come to Christ. On him believe. peace and joy you can receive. Come to Christ. Confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. Trust in Him from day to day. He will hold you all the way. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Shall we pray? God, it's not always easy to trust You because we don't trust ourselves. We don't know even how to pray. Sometimes we're just like that beggar. Our lives are so messed up. Our blindness has overwhelmed us. And we begin to call out. We begin to long for change. And others tell us to sit down and be quiet. God, why not now? Why not today? We take our addictions, we take our crises, we take our families, we take our hurts, we take all of our stuff, and we desire a change. And regardless of what others might say or how busy we think You are, by faith, let us give it to You. And by faith, let us trust You day by day that Your will, not our will, but that Your will can be done. Even today, this I pray in Jesus' name.